Can't go wrong if you start with the Shlach. There's a famous comment from the Shlach Kaddish. The Shlach Kaddish says that when we read the Parshios of Vayeshev and Miketz and Vayigash, and they always fall out around Chanukah, either right before Chanukah or right after Chanukah, meaning within that range of Parshios, Vayishlach already has a kesher to Chanukah, and Vayetze already has a kesher to Chanukah. But all of these parshios that we read around the time of the Zmanim and the Moadim are deeply connected to the Moed, to the Yontif. He writes, V'yan ki be'ilu parshios chalu yimei Chanukah, o lefanein o la'achrayin, u'lechol zman ve'eis l'chol chifetz, ki bevada gilgul ha'moadim shal kol ha'shono, hine eila moedei Hashem, hein moedei d'rabanan, o tanios v'tishabav. Whether we're talking about a D'Oraisa Yom Tov, or a D'Rabbanan Yom Tov, or a Tanis, or a Tisha B'Av, the Moadim fall out within the calendar year in connection with the Parshios. Mekulon yeshaychus la'osan ha'parshios shachalos behen ki hakol miyad Hashem iskil. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges it that the calendar, the cycle of the calendar year, should align with the cycle of the Kriyas HaTorah. And therefore the parshas that we read around Chanukah are very much connected to Chanukah, as the Shlach Kaddish and many others go on to explain. This is true, says the Shlach, lefanein ol achrayin, which means that the Yom Tov that we're currently celebrating, Yotes Kislev, is a Yom Tov that both draws from the coming week's parsha, because we're now transitioning into the Kriya that we're preparing this week is connected to the Yom Tov. But the Kriya that we read this past Shabbos also sets the tone. Shabbos sets the tone, right? It's Mashpia, the Bracha, Milafanavu La'achrav. The Shabbos, meaning this past Shabbos, Vayishlach, sets the tone for everything that's going to happen this week. And therefore, if we want to understand the Yom Tov of Yotes Kislev, so we need to look at this week's Parsha, we need to look at last week's Parsha, we need to look at these Parshas that fall out around the time of the Yom Tov. Why do I keep calling it a Yom Tov? Let's be straight about this. So if you look at the last entry in the Hayom Yom, also known as Hayom Yom, it's verse number 2. The Hayom Yom starts when the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Chassad of Kodesh Levracha, arranged the Hayom Yom. So he started with Yotes Kislev, which means that the last entry is Yod Ches Kislev. So he writes in the very last entry in the Hayom Yom, right after, he has an entry there, and he says that, some of the Hanhagos, some of the Halachos, that the Hasidim already on Yod Ches Kislev by Mincha time are not reciting Tachnun. And then he quotes a Maimer Hasidi, and then at the very bottom of the page it says the following Nusach. Good Yom Tov. L'shana Tova B'limad HaChasidus V'darkei HaChasidus T'chaseivu V'seichaseimu. And we wish each other a good Yom Tov. This is, as the Rebbe Rashab famously wrote in his letter, this is the Rosh Hashanah for Chasidus. And therefore we wish each other a good Yom Tov, and we offer each other a bracha that we hope that as we tap into the kochos of this day, which is the beginning of the Giloy of Chasidus, which we'll try to understand a little bit what that is and why that is and how that is, and how it's so much nogeya to us. So we wish each other Hatzlach in the coming year, that we should be zochet to appreciate Pnimiyas HaTorah and to bring it into our lives, to learn a lot of it, to study it deeply, and to live a lot of it. Chaver, it's a Yom Tov. Think about for a second, and I think everyone here is kind of various degrees are in. We consider themselves already bought in. But I was trying to think this morning. Just try to think about certain concepts that you have and what they would look like without Pnimiyas HaTorah. Without the Baal Shem Tov and everyone who comes after him. Without the Arizal and everyone who comes after him. Just try to think. Try to think what Shabbos would mean to you without Pnimiyas HaTorah. Think about what Tefillah would mean to you. Think about what Bein Adam L'Chaver would mean to you. Right? How would I act as a Rebbe on the days that guys don't show up to Shir if I never learned Chassidus? I'm being serious. No, I'm serious. How would I look at another Jew? How would I look at another Jew? A Jew I feel like kasher to, or a Jew I don't feel like kasher to? Right? How do I look at Torah Shabbat through the eyes of Pnimiyas HaTorah? So what would our lives look like? Right? What would our lives Kipshuta? What would our lives look like without this world of Torah? And the answer is very, very different. What would Klal Yisrael look like? What would Klal Yisrael look like after the destruction of Europe and the Holocaust? What would Klal Yisrael look like without Hasidic leaders who who had the courage to rebuild in a very authentic way, in a way that could have very easily been lost, if not for those people who align themselves with the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmid. So it's a different world. And a lot of that change, for those of us who want to believe, a lot of that change took place on Yotes Kislev. It's amazing. Already in, there's a small volume I have at home called Shalos and Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. Anyone ever hear of this? Shalos and Tshuvos Min HaShemayim? Rav Yaakov Mimarvish. Rav Yaakov Mimarvish was one of the Baalei Tosfos. Marvish, I believe, is in southern France. And it's a very strange volume. There's a lot written about it in Halacha, whether or not we could be somech on such a volume. But essentially, this Rav Yaakov Mimarvish, one of the Baalei Tosfos, was able to do She'elas Chalom, to ask Malachim questions in a dream. So, for example, he says, how do we pasken? Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. Which is the right tefillin to wear? So, the Malach answers him. Just as it's a machlokas down below, it's a machlokas up above. The Malachim pasken like Rashi, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu pasken like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, you go do what you want with that. Right? There's a lot written. He asks him when Mashiach's coming, and he says, stop asking me these types of questions. It's very interesting. It's probably about 100 questions. A tiny little volume. Reuven Margolius put it out with a very interesting Hakadamba about Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh and things like that. But in that volume, one of the entries is dated Yotes Kislev. He asked him a question on Yotes Kislev. And the Malach responded to him about Yotes Kislev, not located to his question, but about that day that he was communicating with him. He said to him, Hayom Yom Besura. He said to him, today is a special day. Yotes Kislev. Again, the Baalei Tosfos. But he was told, there was a Giloy Min HaShemayim. We don't question whether or not, at least I don't, maybe some do, we don't question whether or not this volume is authentic. We believe that Rav Yaakov Mimarvish was able to... The question is, Rav Adi Yosef talks, in Halacha, could we be Somech on it? Could we be Somech on it for Halacha? The same way whenever we have a machlokas between Nigla and Nistar, how do we paskin? Who do we follow? Right? Okay, so Loba Shemayim, eh? And therefore, Shalos and Tshuvos Min HaShemayim may not carry weight in Halacha. But it's not a question, it's not suspect of being a work that's not authentic. So if a Malach tells you that Yotes Kislev is a Yom Basura, it's a good day, right? That's not, I don't know that that's Nogeya LaHalacha, but they can decide if you're going to say Tachlun today. Meaning, I think we could be makabel the fact that today is a special day. Now again, maybe the Malach had some other intent, right? But I think, for our purposes, as we try to study the sugya today, I think we can begin to understand a little bit, again, what's the nature of this Yom Tov? That it is a Yom Besura, it's a special day. Whether you want to understand it more naturally or more metaphysically, the transformation that took place on this day. Matan Torah transformed the world. The world changed by Kabbalah Satorah. Some will believe, in a very animam ibn shlema, poshut kind of way, that the world changed on Yotes Kislev. That the same way Matan Torah allowed a certain chibur between Shemayim and Aretz to take place that had never been accessible prior to that, a certain connection between Shemayim and Aretz, a certain alignment was achieved on Yotes Kislev. So let's see. Let's try to follow the Shlach Kaddish's advice and draw from the Parsha. We just read this past Shabbos, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayovik Yishimo Aralos HaShachar. Now much of this shir is based on a piece in the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the Lakutei Sichos, in the 15th volume. Okay, you have the Mayim Makkah at the top of the page if you want to take a look at it. It's about a 7 or 8 page Mayimur in Yiddish. Okay, so good luck with that. But, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe Kedarko B'Kodesh does, he develops it in such a beautiful, 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 wholesome way. Look what he says. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Yeah, Yaakov's left alone. And someone struggles with him, I don't know Yiddish. And someone struggles with him, Aralos HaShachar. And someone, right? A Malach, an Ish, struggles with him, Aralos HaShachar. No, how did Yaakov end up by himself? So Chazal have two very different traditions as to why Yaakov ended up on his own. We know Rashi. We know Rashi because we learn Rashi on Chumash. Maybe we've learned the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph. But certainly we know it from Rashi on Chumash. Amar Rabbi Elazar, source number 4. How did Yaakov end up by himself? He went back for Pachin Ketanim. And from here we see that Tzaddikim are very careful with their money. How do you see that in the Pasuk? Just parentheses, the next few sources. How do you even see that in the Pasuk? How did Chazal even understand that he went back for Pachin Ketanim? How did Yaakov end up over there? And how did Chazal know this? Rav Elazar had a tradition of this. So in the Bali Tosos, in the Das Akenim, in source number 5, quotes Rashi, and then he quotes what maybe was an earlier Maimar Chazal. It's unclear if it's his own, the Bali Tosos are making a drasha, or they're referencing a Chazal. But the fact that it says Livado, we find in early sources, Das Akenim says, Al Tikri Livado El Lakado. The Vayavasar Yaakov Lakado. Yaakov went back for his kad. Kad means a small jar. So from here we learn that Yaakov went back for Pachim Ketan. Now this Das Kenim, I gave you the full Das Kenim, I gave you the whole comment, because it's an important Das Kenim in the Sugya of Chanukah, just so you should have this in your back pocket. Dover Acher, say the Bali Tosfos, Lashon Beis Habad, maybe Levado is not a Lashon only of being alone, but it's a Beis Habad. Beis Habad means what? The press. What do you do with the press? Shemoishchen Mimanu Shemen Zayis, V'derach Hu La'atzni Hashem V'pachim Ketan. Levado is being Maramis to the Beis Habad, where you press your olives, and he went back for a small jar of olive oil, perhaps. Perhaps. Okay? And many Svarim, many Sifrei Pnimius developed the idea of Yaakov's Pachim Ketana being connected to the Shaman of Chanukah. Okay? But you just know that that's already, that notion's already found in the Bali Tosfos. In the Hadar Zakenim of the Bali Tosfos, another collection of writings in the Bali Tosfos, they quote the first part the same as exactly the same as the Das Akenim, and then it says Davar Acher, it's bolded. Mimashmos de levado yadana de ratzolomar kado klomar lohaya davar chashuv leklum kishein nishar alav leshamro elahu levado. The levado, besides this drush of levado lekado, the fact that he went back for it alone means it's something that what, that's not so chashuv. That only Yaakov cared to go back for it. No one else would have thought, oh my gosh, we forgot something. Let's all turn around and go back. It had to be a certain person who cared about a certain lowly type of thing, a seemingly worthless kad, that Yaakov ends up on his own. It's something that he says, Kishe'ein nishar alav l'shamro elahu levado. Right? It's a davar, it's a lohay a davar chashuv l'klub. That it's something that, in theory, if no one's paying attention to it, no one really cares about it. Yaakov, for whatever reason, cared about this little jar. So he went back to retrieve this little jar. Rav Avadya b'Bar Tanura wrote a super commentary on Rashi. The super commentary is called Amar Nekei. It's based on a pasuk in Daniel. And Rav Avadya b'Bar Tanura says again, how do you know? The Yavasa Yaakov Levado went back for Pachim Ketanim. Why did Chazal need to make that drasha? Kashem Minolo, he says in source 7. Yeshlo Mishum Detzarach Lahotzi Mikra Zem Mashmo. Shein Lomar Shanishra Yaakov Levado Yechidi Kamashmo Samikra. I need to give an explanation for why Yaakov would be alone. Why do I need to give an explanation for why Yaakov would be alone? Because it says in Pirkei Avos that a person who walks alone is Mischayev Benafsho. Okay, so Yaakov can't be alone. So why was he alone? He can't be alone for no reason. So maybe he was alone for an important reason. Vakach islameimar al tikri levado al lakado klomar al kado v'hainu sheshachach pachan ketanim v'chazar alayin. So you're allowed to be alone if you're doing something purposeful. I would have thought Pirkei Avos says you can't be alone. Either way. But okay, maybe we can justify Yaakov as being alone because he went back lakado. Okay. And lastly, Rabbeinu Bachaya as well quotes this, just to show you again that they're quoting this, Rabbi Hussein Uzal, whether he's referring to the Bali Tosfos or whether he's referring to a Chazal, maybe a Medrash that we don't have, Lekado Karibbe. Lelamit Shechazar Alpachav Ketanim, Lelamit Shemamonim Shal Tzadikim Chav Malayim, Kadesh Yisrachu Min Agazel, as Rashi says. V'akavana, now I want to add this last line, Rabbeinu Bachaya, again. It'll be very much nogeya to a shir we had last week. Kadesh Shalo Yistaknu Habonim Haketanim, B'derechim lo yishtu. What are these pachim ketanim? That the children shouldn't fall to sakana if what? If they don't have what to drink. What were these pachim ketanim? Baby bottles. It was a baby bottle. They forgot the baby bottle. Why is that no gear to last week's shir? Because the whole victory of Chanukah is a victory of banim. And the banim said kisvah, karen ashur, shein lem chelik v'elokei Yisrael. Why dafka the karen ashur? So he said, from the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead, who one of his, a member of his kehila ended up at some exhibit at the British Museum, and they were looking at ancient baby bottles, and in ancient Greece, the baby bottles were made out of what? Karen Ashur. So they dafka wanted little babies to what? To be looking up at their bottle with a sign on their bottle that says, Ein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. That a young child from the youngest of age should be corrupted to believe that you have no sheiches, no kesher whatsoever. Ein lo chelek. We'll talk about that next week. Ein lo chelek at all. B'lokei Yisrael. So Yaakov went back for baby bottles. If you understand that this whole sugya of the Pachim Ketan is very much connected to Chanukah, it's a beautiful Rabbeinu Bechaya to have. For the kach, and therefore, the children, Rachmana Litzan, to lose the children, to put the children in Sakana, Yaakov says, I'd rather put myself in Sakana. And therefore he went back to Sakana Lachzor, the Makatrix and his Davik Lomiyad and Dafka there, as he's trying to protect the Banim, it's at that moment that what? That the Sarashal Esav starts up with him. No, so however, you can look at this story of Apachim Ketanim, and again, if we look at it in Pnimiyas Torah, maybe we can elevate the chashivas of what Yaakov is going back for. But the pashtus is something very petty, something very strange. That's something like we saw that if Yaakov doesn't care about it, then no one cares about it. Like the Hadar Zakenim said, he's going back for a small thing. Again, we could try to touch it up. But Lamaisa it was a small empty bottle that he went back to retrieve. And you can say, look, tzaddikim are so nizor with their money. Or you could also say, Rachman al-Itzlam, not that we want to say this, but you could also say that Yaakov is being the first cheap Jew who goes back for an empty bottle he doesn't really need, right, to get a 5-cent refund on the soda bottle or whatever it is. And you could say, what's happening to you, Yaakov Avinu? Why are you being so petty? The Kli Yakar actually learns it in this way. The Kli Yakar learns that Sarshal Esav wanted to do a lot more spiritual damage to Yaakov, but at the least, he wanted him to become obsessed with money. And Rachmana Litzlan, there are certainly Jews in the world today who are still obsessed with money. And the Kli Yakar, which you don't have on the page in front of you, learns the whole sugya of Yaakov being chozer for Pachim Ketanim as a tremendous spiritual yerida. That he was being dragged down. He's drunk on money. He brings an interesting remez. He says, if you look at the letters after Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, which is the name of Sarashal Esav, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. The letters after them are what? Are Ayin, Nun, Beis, Mem. Anavim. Grapes. And he speaks about the Shichrus of Yaakovino. It's an interesting var just to keep in mind again, because later by the Meraglim, you have Anavim, where they were lifting up Anavim, and lifting up Anavim in the other direction means I take Anavim, I lift it up a letter, and it goes to Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. Right? It was Bikurei Anavim, the Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach. So there's a whole shtickle Torah there, I think, from Rav Shimshon Meastropoli on Bikurei Anav. But again, the Kli Yakar is learning it as Yaakov descending to a low place. Not in a choshev way, not as a superhero. The Yaakov Avinu is having you read the Pachim Ketanim, little nothing, this is what you're being osik with, Yaakov Avinu. That's one way to look at Chazal's picture of Pachim Ketanim. What's the other way to learn the sugya? Vayivaser Yaakov Avado. Not Yaakov going after petty, empty soda bottles, but Yaakov being Osek in the biggest thing in the world. Take a look at the Medrash in Source 9. The Medrash says, V'yavaster Yaakov levado v'yavikishimo Ein kakel yeshurin rochev shamayim bezrech Rabbi Brechia b'shem Rabbi Simon Amar Ein kakel yeshurin. Look how he reads it. Ein kakel, there's no one like the Rabbona Sholem. Ein kakel, okay, no. Yet, mi kakel. But who is, if I had to pick someone who is like Hashem? Yeshurun. Here? Ein kakel Yeshurun. There's no one like God except for Yeshurun. Who's Yeshurun? Yaakov Avinu. Yisrael Saba. Yaakov Avinu. Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu. Just like it says about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In two places in the second parak of Yeshaya, V'niskav Hashem Levado, that Hashem is all alone in His holiness, in His oneness. Af Yaakov, Yivasar Yaakov Levado. That Yaakov, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was able to be Levada, to reach that highest level of that tremendous oneness, of wholesomeness, of Levada. There's nothing that compares to me. So says the Bava Trevi, what's going on here? Is Yaakov being chozer for Pachim Ketanim? Is he being osek in petty, silly things? Or is Yaakov achieving an alignment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That he's being compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'niskav Hashem Levado Bayom Ahu. And here you have Yaakov, you know, Vayavasa Yaakov Levado. The Gemara in Megillah says that Yaakov is sometimes called Kel. He's godlike. That's how this measure fits with that Gemara in Megillah. Right? Vayikrulo Kel Elokei Yisrael. The Yaakov, Mikaro Kel Elokei Yisrael, the Gemara says. Who called Yaakov El Elokei Yisrael, God called Yaakov El. Enka Kel Yeshurin. Pasha Pshad, there's no one like God. Says the Medrash, read it differently. Enka Kel, there's no one like God except for Yeshurin. The Yaakov Avinu mirrors HaKadosh Baruch Hu in being able to be Levado. Vayavasar Yaakov Levado is the same as the messianic image of Enitzchav Hashem Levado when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to all. So which is it? Is it Pachim Ketanim of minor importance? Or is this the peak of Yaakov's holiness? Is it the highest or is it the lowest? So this, which we just read this past Shabbos, this is the backdrop for the Yom Tov Yud Tes Kislev. It's this sugi on this past week's parsha that's mashpil bracha to this week, which teaches us how to learn the sugya of Yud Tes Kislev. The basic question you have to ask on Yud Tes Kislev is the following: why should it be that the later generations are zocha to giluyim in Torah that tzaddikim in earlier generations weren't zocha to? That's the simple question. Why is that so? Doesn't make any sense. In fact, if you look at the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rava Bar Zimona, in Rishonim B'nei Malachim, if the earlier ones were angelic, Anu B'nei Anashim, then halavai, we should just be human. And if they were humans, if they were just the way humans are supposed to be, Anu Kechamorim, then we're like a bunch of donkeys. And in case you're getting excited, well, donkeys can also be holy. Says the Gemara, to burst our bubble, Lo kechamoro shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa v'shel Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Not like the holy donkeys who served Hashem, like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Ela kashar chamorim, like a plain donkey that a little Arab boys riding around on the outskirts of the old city. That kind of donkey. A plain old donkey. Nope. So what's the pshat? And by the way, if you look at other versions of this chazal, I gave you a few in the footnotes. If you look at other versions of this chazal, yeah, the Yerushalmi and Damai and Shkalim, the Medrash Beis Rabbah, it doesn't even say B'nai Malachim. In Rishonim K'malachim, not B'nai Malachim. If the Rishonim are Mamish Malachim, then halavai, we should be human. Halavai. So how does it make any sense? A very basic question, why should it be that Dafka, the later generations, and by the way, as time goes further and further, it seems that there are more Giluyim in Torah, and deeper understandings of Torah, being revealed to the lowest Jews. How does that make any sense? So in Chassidus, there are basically two answers to this question. And we'll see that the two answers are really one answer. What are the two answers to this question? There's a kuntres called the kuntres Eitz HaChayim, from the Rebbe Rashab. And he tells us there, why is it that Pnimiyas HaTorah is revealed to us? Who are we that we deserve to see the secrets of... Everyone knows the famous mashal, right? Of the Baal Tanya and others. That the king's son is sick and they take the prized gem and they crush it up and they give it to him to drink. Right? That's basically what the Kuntres Eitz HaChayim says, the Rebbe Rashab says, in explanation of why is it that we're Zocha to see things that earlier generations weren't zochet to see. The answer is because we're so sick, and the darkness is so, the darkness has become so thick and so stifling spiritually that if we don't have Pnimiyas HaTorah, there's zero chance we're going to survive. There's zero chance we're going to survive. Look what he writes in the Kuntres Eitz Chaim and Os Yud Gimel. Umishum zen nisgala ikar Pnimiyas HaTorah bedoros achronim dafka. Why dafka? In our generation, should be zochet to see things like it says in the Geras Hakodesh Chavav, b'shem Arizal, the dafka bedoros elu haachronim, mutter u'mitzvah legalos zos hachachma. It's dafka in our time that we finally are given a heter. We're not given a heter. It's not a lechatchila. I always use this against people, by the way, who are anti Pnimiyas HaTorah. You want to tell me Pnimiyas HaTorah is b'di'evad? That's fine. I'll give you Kuntres Eitz HaChaim. You can show it to me inside. Tell me it's b'di'evad, but don't tell me it's not true. Don't tell me we don't need it. You want to tell me it's b'di'evad that Klai Yisrael are so sick that we need this Torah to survive. Okay. But don't tell me it's not true. Don't pretend I'm not sick. Don't pretend Klai Yisrael is not dying without this. That's irresponsible. That's a person who has an illness, and you're trying to convince him that he doesn't. Klai Yisrael is sick. We need medicine. Is that a b'di'evad situation to be sick and to need medicine? Yes. But if you are sick, you need medicine. And you can't deny that reality, or you're not going to get better. So says the Kuntres Eitz HaChaim, says the Rebbe Rashab, it became mutter, It's a shas l'chak. But it became mutter. And because it became mutter, it became a mitzvah. A doctor has permission to heal, and therefore a doctor is a mitzvah to heal. It's a mitzvah legalos zos hachachma. Ki doros harishonim lo ayu tzrichim lezeh. The Rambam didn't know about this. It's not a pagam in the Rambam, and it's not a knock on primus of Torah. It's that the Rambam didn't need it, which is a remarkable thing. I told you what I saw once in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim, that a certain Rebbe said it was an unbelievable chiddush that the Chavetz Chaim was able to be the Chavetz Chaim without being zocheh to tapping in at all to the light of the Baal Shem Tov. That's a chiddush. And it's possible. And the Chavetz Chaim was the Heilige Chavetz Chaim. But don't tell me that every little Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel in the street corner is going to become the Chavetz Chaim without the Baal Shem Tov. That's not the Metzius. He's arguing in Metzius. So therefore, in these later generations, we dafka need this. The earlier generations, Hayu Tzadikim Gamurim. They knew what Ava meant. They knew what Yira meant. We don't have a clue what Ava and Yira means until we start learning these far. What real Ava and real Yira is, we have no clue. They learned Torah in the ideal fashion. It's an important line. He says they didn't need it, and therefore, as I told you many times recently from Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav Shachtori says from the Rav, that Kadosh Baruch was a keal mistater. Hashem is very tznius. Hashem doesn't like to. B'makom gedulaso, shomat tamotzei anvasanuso. Hashem likes to lay low. Hashem in his humility. Like we learned long ago, that the Chevra was here at the time, when we were learning the writings of the Maharal. When the Maharal said that the prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah is what? Is pshitus, is anava. That's the prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to transmit himself, he likes to do so in a very humble way. And therefore, ideally, right, Kvod Elokim, the honor of Hashem is Haster Dovar, to keep these things quiet. It's not to take the king's prized possession and grind it up and hand it out for taste testing on street corners. Taking the king's precious gem to try to save the prince. That's a bit the other. That's one mahalach. And it makes sense. Aval bedor sa'achronim. She'enem neshamos gavos kol kach. V'nismatu alavavos. Lezos mitzvah legalos. V'dor achar dor muchrach yoser inyan esgalos primis ha-Torah leidas Hashem. And the deeper the galus gets, the darker the galus gets, the more a person needs to be osek in this, and the more that the Torah itself, the primis ha-Torah itself, has to open itself up, has to reveal itself to offer new medications for new illnesses. V'shia b'chinas av avira. The lower we fall, the more gashmi we become, the more that we see a fulfillment of Anochi Haster Astir Panai Bayomahu, that concealment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gam Tov Se Torah Lo Ayodim Es Hashem. You can be a person who learns a ton of Torah, you don't know the first thing about Hashem. Umameila Lo Ay Ava Vira Be'emes. Ki Ava Vira Toli Biyadiya Vasagos Elokus Dafka. You can be a person who has a lot of Torah and doesn't know the first thing of what it means Avas Hashem, doesn't know the first thing about Yiras Hashem. You're actually even uncomfortable to talk about those terms because you don't even know how to apply, you don't know what it is. Because Ava and Yiras Hashem is directly in relation to one's connection in Yediyas Elokus, in Asagas Elokus. So you can have all the facts and yet you're still what? You're still left without any direct kasher to Hashem, mitoch Ava, mitoch Yira. Ki eich yehav. How can I love that which I don't know? How can I fear that which I don't know? So he says four lines from the bottom. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis. How foolish is it, a family that has a child with special needs, and one of the other siblings says, it's so not, I don't understand. Why does so-and-so, right, get special treatment? You don't understand. What do you mean you don't understand? How do you not understand? Don't you see that? Don't you see that he's different? He has different needs, right? So don't be so immature. You say to the other child, right? Try to understand. It's not that the parents are favoring him, that they love him more. His child has special needs, and therefore he deserves a certain type of attention. And any mature person understands that. And doesn't say, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why in Hass do they get to play music on Tisha B'Av? Why can't I have a concert on Tisha B'Av? Right? The answer is that for them it's mutter and it's a mitzvah. For someone who doesn't need that, it's not mutter and it's not a mitzvah. Kvod elokim haster davar. Keep it quiet. Right? So we have to be mature and we have to face reality. The reality is Klai Yisrael became very sick. And as Golas drags on, with each passing year of Golus, we become more sick. And therefore Hashem, in His kindness, is, so to speak, favoring the sick child, the Ikkus of the Mashiach, Pachim Ketanim Jews, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing for a Giloy of the Zohar, Hashem is Alim Acher Petiras HaRashvi, Liesgala B'doros Acheronim, that which was hidden away for many years is becoming revealed, V'Kvashakosav B'tikune Zohar, V'Kama B'nei Nosho Yisfarnasun Letata Mihai Chibura, there are Jews who are going to literally be able to sustain themselves from the Zohar. And it doesn't even have to do with learning the Zohar. Just the fact that the Zohar is available in the world gives chizik to Klal Yisrael. Whether you learn it or not. Knowing that such a thing exists, it's mechazik the Jews in the Dor HaBasra. V'dor achar dor gil alanu b'chasta yizbarach or pnimiyas toraso al yidei avodav hane'emanim v'lachein mitzvah v'chova al kol echad v'echad lilmod pnimiyas haTorah. So in some level, it's a very funny thing that's taking place in the world. And we saw it in the writings of Rav Tzadok last year, in Prit Tzadok, he quotes from Rav Simcha Buna Prashischa. You have to, at the same time, reconcile a superficial Yeridas Hadoros. You have to reconcile superficially the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that says if their angels were people, and if their people were donkeys, and yet there has to be a recognition that somehow, in some way, right, and maybe it's Habat Talia, it's Dafka, that illness, that allows for new giluyim and new giluyim and new giluyim to keep us afloat, to keep us growing stronger. But at the same time, it means we're zochet to something. We're zochet to see something. How do we understand that? How do we understand the superficial illness and yet being zochet to these new types of medicine? What's the other way to learn it? What's the other way to learn the sugya? Why are we zochet to pnimiyas haTorah? It's not because we're the sickest generation, that we're so ill that we have no choice but to stay alive because of Pnimiyas haTorah. The other way to learn it is with the greatest generation. We are standing on the brink of the Tachlis of the Bria, which is Mashiach. We're going to be the door that's Mekal Mashiach. We have to believe that. We have to believe Hayom, the Mashiach is going to come. I don't really understand, why should it be me as opposed to all the tzaddikim of the previous generations? It's a fair question, but at the end of the day, I'm the one who's chosen, and they weren't. And I look back at history, obviously with humility, and I feel empowered. I feel that I'm part of the greatest generation of all time, the generation that's going to greet Mashiach. The Magen Avraham quotes a Lashon, and the Baal Tani has it as well in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It's really from the Arizal. It's something we like to do. We don't need an Arizal to convince ourselves that this is worthwhile, to taste the Shabbos food on Erev Shabbos. All right? Now, okay, so now if someone's giving you trouble, you know, picking out the food on Erev Shabbos, right? So, okay. He said, what do you mean? So that's the Arizal. Talacha, Magen Avraham. Shtei Mefurash, Arachayim, Simin Reish Nun, Sifkot An Aleph, Mitzvah Lit'om HaTavshilin, Vitzarach Lit'om Mikol Tavshil Be'Erev Shabbos. You need to taste all of the foods on Erev Shabbos. So the way that the Sfarim explained, again, in Chassidus is that we're holding by Erev Shabbos. 6,000 years of creation. We're at the very, very end. Where we are the Erev Shabbos generation before Shabbos, before Mashiach comes. So therefore, we have to what? We have to start tasting. Because when Mashiach comes, there's going to be this Giloy Or. And therefore, because of our positioning in world history, we are entitled to taste what they weren't entitled. Not because we're sick, but because we are the generation of Mashiach, and we have a right to start. The Or Chozer is bouncing back. We have a right to start tasting it before that light comes down in a clear and accessible way. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so again, so which is it? Which is it? On the one hand, we saw that Yaakov goes back for Pachim Ketanim. So on the one hand, you could say, Yaakov, this is your lowest moment. Look what the Yetzer has done to you. You've become a person who's chasing after every little bit of gashes, every little penny you can make in this world. The other way to look at it is Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, that he's alone in the world like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ein Kekel Yeshurin. So which is it? So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that sugya is exactly the sugya of Pnimiyas haTorah. Is it the lowest of the low? Is it the sickest of the sick who need chizik from Pnimiyas haTorah, and that's why we're zochet to the Giloy? Or is it no? We're the loftiest generation who's about to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu and crown Hashem King over all of humanity that makes us worthy of tasting the food on Erev Shabbos. What's the pshat? The Rebbe Rashab, there's a volume called the Torah Shalom. Rosh Shalom Dov Ber, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. In the Torah Shalom, he has a maimer from Taf Reish Samaches, Yotes Kislev, Taf Reish Samaches, and he says in there, what happened on Yotes Kislev? What changed on Yotes Kislev? What changed was that a focused effort of Kesher Futsu Mayanosecha Chutzu began. A focused effort of spreading outward the wellsprings of Pnimiyas HaTorah, Chassidus. Now what does that mean? So the Baal Shem Rebbe is an amazing pshat. The Baal Shem Rebbe says, it's not, the pshat's not that there's going to be people, because there always were people who were Osek in Pnimiyas HaTorah. The Ramban was Osek in Pnimiyas HaTorah, not the Pnimiyas HaTorah that we're Osek in. The Ramban was a Mekubal. The Ramban quotes every other page, right, that he's explaining Al Derech HaEmes. That means Al Pi Kabbalah. Yeah? But the Ramban's ability to transmit that Pnimiyas was still very, very Nistar. And if anything was going to happen when we look at that piece of Ramban, you're going to get the Ramban is the wellspring, so to speak, and that Pnimiyas HaTorah that surrounds him is the wellspring. The Ramban's sitting in the well, and maybe that what? The water from the well is going to be displaced and it's going to trickle outwards. The Baal Shem Rebbe says, that's not what Kesher Futsu Mayanosecha Chutzu means. Kesher Futsu Mayanosecha Chutzu, what the Rebbe Yoshab was talking about in the Torah Shalom, the spreading out of the well springs means what? That not just the water trickles out to the outer, you know, recesses, to the farthest places, to reaching out to the outer peripheries, where all sorts of low Jews are. No, that the wellsprings are going to set up shop in those places. You hear the difference? It's not that there's going to be this indirect hashpa from the wellspring in its makom that's going to trickle outwards. It's that the mayonosecha themselves are going to be stationed hachutza. So now think like Lubavitch Rebbe, you know what that means. Right? Again, Stam Lubavitch Rebbe means the seventh Lubavitch Rebbe. Menachem Mendel Schneerson. Yeah? So what did the Rebbe say? What does that mean that the Mayanos become stationed at Chutzah? It means it's no longer that people are going to, again, be getting like the ripple effect of Chassidus. It's that Chassidus is going to become a mainstay in their life. That the wellspring is going to be where they are. Not just that it's happening somewhere else and it's impacting me from a distance. That's true about anything we do. Any Jew does a mitzvah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, when Jews learn well in Volozhin Yeshiva, an irreligious Jew doesn't light up a cigarette on the streets of Paris on Shabbos. What's the kasher? The kasher is when I do a good thing, it impacts another Jew in a good way. Right? But it's one thing to do that in like a very distant kind of way. It's another thing that when the Mayanos themselves reach the outer peripheries and set up shop there. So what happened to Yutes Kislev? There were always people learning Nistar. There were always people learning Pnimiyas HaTorah. The Chiddush was that the Ma'ayan is now going to set up shop, right, in the farthest, most distant places. Which means that what? It means that Nigla and Nistar are going to come together like never before. Like my brother was talking yesterday, that piece from Rav Kook, about the Te'umim that were Nifradu, Torah Shevachsav, Torah Shevalpeh, is the exact same thing between Nigla and Nistar. The Baal Shem Rebbe says there were always people who were giants in Nigla, there were always people who were giants in Nistar. There were even people who were giants in Nigla and in Nistar. But there wasn't a direct link that was established between the two. The Chiddush of Yutes Kislev, what the Alter Rebbe began to do on Yutes Kislev, and again, you could say the Baal Shem Tov really began it, but the Alter Rebbe in some ways began it in a more proactive fashion, in a more focused fashion, right? Was to unite those two worlds. Was to unite the Nigla and the Nistar. So what happens? What happens that when Torah is undergoing a transformation, that Kesheyafutza Mayanosecha Chutza, that now there's going to be wellsprings of inner Torah bursting, and not just distantly making contact with. That the wellspring of inner Torah is going to burst out of the farthest type of Torah, meaning the most Nigla type of Torah is going to be exploding with Nistar. So what happens when that happens in Torah? So you know the Lashon of the Zohar. The Zohar writes in Source 13. The Zohar in Achremos. The Zohar says that there are three Madregos that are deeply connected, and whatever happens to one happens to the other two. Or in other words, all three are changed simultaneously. What are those three things? Kutcha Brichu, Yisrael, Valraisa, Chadhu. Right? Gimel, Dargan, Inun, Miskashrin, Da, Bida. There are three levels, three things that are deeply connected one to another. What are they? Kutcha Brichu, Oraisa, V'Yisrael. Kutcha Brichu, Oraisa, V'Yisrael. V'chol Chad, Darga, Al Darga, Sosin, V'Galia. And each one is built layer upon layer, concealed and revealed. Kutcha Brichu, Darga, Al Darga, Sosin, V'Galia. Hashem has concealed expressions of himself, Right? And Hashem has revealed expressions of Himself. Hashem sometimes says Vayomer, He's talking, Vayomer means and He said. Hashem sometimes says Bereishis, which also means and He said, according to the Gemara. That's called Maimer Sosum, concealed speech. But the word Bereishis doesn't mean and He said. Vayomer means and He said. So Hashem has different ways of manifesting Himself, revealed and concealed. Oraisa, the Torah, has concealed and revealed, layer upon layer. Klal Yisrael have layers, revealed and concealed. So if on Yud Tes Kislev, there was a unification that was taking place in the Torah, that Nigla and Nistar were being aligned like never before, that there would never be a stira between Nigla and Nistar, that there wouldn't be people who learn Nigla and people who learn Nistar, which there always were, and there won't even be one person who learns Nigla and Nistar but still doesn't see how those two worlds are one and the same. But to be able to reach the highest level, that what? That you see it all mamish. Mamish is one and the same. Levado. That it's all one thing. That there's a unification of everything. And if that's happening in Torah, that means it's happening in Klal Yisrael. Because that's what the Zohar says. Whatever's happening in Torah is happening in Klal Yisrael. So what change in every human being, in every Jewish human being on Yud Tes Kislev? If Yud Tes Kislev, Torah aligned itself like never before, so what happened to every person? What happened to every Jew on Yud Tes Kislev? A Jew aligned himself like never before. His Nigla and his Nistar also came into contact like never before. What does that mean? What does that mean? The language of how we look at ourselves has changed and continues to change. And the more Pnimius the Torah reveals itself, the more people are aware of that reality. There's a part of ourselves, there's a Pintel Yid, there's a Yechida, there's a deepest part of who we are, right? Which the Baal Shem Tov said, in the five Madrigos of the Neshama, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, Pshat, let's say, is Nefesh, Chassidus is the deepest. Chassidus is Yechida. So the revelation of Chassidus, it's even deeper than Kabbalah. Chassidus is the deepest, it's Atzmius Ein Sof, so the Baal Shem Tov says. It's getting as close to seeing Hashem in the realest way possible. Where there's no up and down, and there's Hashem Be'etzeh, I'm not Hashem as He presents Himself. Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, Asiya, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes. No, those are all manifestations. The etzem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be experienced, the Baal Shem Tov said, through the learning of Chassidus. And each generation, it's a greater Giloy. The Baal Tanya began it. They say by Chabad, it's Malin V'Kodesh V'Ein Moridik. Which means what? Which means by the time the Friedrich Rebbe comes along, Chassidus is already being taught to women. By the time Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the Baal Shem Tov comes along, the deepest secrets of Chassidus are being taught to children. So they'll say, no, the Baal Shem Tov is very charismatic. And that's why he was able to reach further and farther. No. He was just continuing that Hamshacha from the Baal Tanya of Chassidus reaching further and further and further and further. That with each passing generation, more and more people have access to it. To the point that you could even have a world today where the world, and again in a perverted way, I heard this from Shmuel Braun, but in a perverted way, the world itself also thinks now it's Shaykh to Kabbalah. You have college courses in Kabbalah, and you have Kabbalah centers all over the place, and you have celebrities who think they want to learn Kabbalah. So that's all, it's obviously a terrible perversion, the way that it's being taught, and it's extortion, and these people are, some of them are ending up in jail, Kipshuto, for stealing people's money. Right? But where does that come from? That's Keshayef Utsumayin Asecha Chutzah. That's Pnimius HaTorah revealing itself and revealing itself and revealing itself as the world again on the one hand becomes sicker and the other hand gets closer and closer to Mashiach. So what was that unity that took place within every Jew? The unity that took place within every Jew is that a Jew can now talk about the part of himself called Yechida. No one talked like that in the olden days. In the good old days when Jews were like really good Jews, they didn't sit around talking about Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chai Yechida. We're sitting in Washington Heights, New York, right, where there's potential, many Yisurei Losa say, just by looking out the window, yeah, and we're sitting here, and we understand Yechida. We can talk about Yechida. We can understand that the five tefillos of Yom Kippur correspond to the five dimensions of the soul, and we can talk about the Pintel Yed, we can read countless Svarim about this whole world. So what's the pshat? How do we talk about that? How does our rational mind have the ability... How does our seichel have the ability to internalize the deepest elokus called chassidus, called yechida, the pintel yid? How are we osik in that? How are we discussing that? The answer is on Yud Tes Kislev, the same way that a Kabbalah is a Torah. I know it sounds like a radical thing I'm saying, but this is what the Rebbe Yoshab said. And he wrote in the letter, the same way that a Matan Torah, there was a certain alignment between Shemayim and Aris that took place. So on Yud Tes Kislev, there was a further alignment that took place. There was a yichud that was achieved. The deepest yichud with the outpouring of Chassidus is yichida. Is a rational human intellect being able to grasp the etzem davar of HaKadosh Baruch. That's what happened. And the wellsprings, by the way, means that not only in the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Shitaso has to finish this point. Not the wellsprings, of course, means what? The tzaddikim. The tzaddikim also take up shop hachutza. The tzaddik always, in the ivory tower, was always sending forth hashpa. But that the tzaddik should go out to the people in a unique way. That the tzaddik should be interested in the material needs, the Baal Chevy said, of the people in a unique way. That was a chiddush. They should be osek in the petty things, of the petty needs of the people. That's part of the chiddush. That's part of the chiddush of Yud Tes Kislev. Okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with this we'll wrap up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megal himself to the world in different manifestations. Hashem has many names. Each name is a giloy of Elokus. Hashem sometimes presents himself as Elokim. Hashem sometimes presents himself as Yudkei Vavkei, Hashem Havaya. What's the difference between Elokim and Yudkei Vavkei? So Elokim we know is Gematria HaTeva. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu manifests himself in Teva, that's Elokim. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, when there's more of an open revelation of his godliness, right? That's Yudkei Vavkei. That's Yudkei Vavkei. Look what the Rebbe said. Look what the Baal HaTanya said in a letter that he wrote to the Berditchever when he got out. It's very, again, if you believe in the tzaddikim, you take every word very, very seriously. In the Beis Rebbe, in Source 14, in the Beis Rebbe, is a volume, it's three volumes in one, of biographies of the earliest tzaddikim of Chabad. In the first chelek, which is the toldos of the Alter Rebbe, here's what it says there. In Perek Yud Ches, it tells what happened when he left, where he wanted to go, he had a drink, tells the maitza. And then it quotes a letter there that he sent to the Berditchever. Now, in that letter, he wrote the following. Look what he writes. Look carefully. And the Vavitz Rebbe is medayik in every word. Ki hiflil v'higdil Hashem la'asos ba'aretz. Ki higdil v'hifli Hashem la'asos ba'aretz. Ki Hashem hifli v'higdil la'asos ba'aretz. Hifli v'higdil Hashem. Higdil v'hifli Hashem, reversing the order. And then Hashem hifli v'higdil. No? Anyone want to say pshat? Vahasos. What's the pshat between hifli v'higdil Hashem, higdil v'hifli Hashem, Hashem hifli v'higdil? So Baal Chevy said like this, ready? Let's talk about Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem wants to manifest himself in Yudkei Vavkei. So how does that work? How does that work? How do we encounter Hashem in Yudkei Vavkei? So we can encounter Yudkei Vavkei in nature. See, there's a nature where I see Teva and I don't see Elohim. I don't see God. God completely concealed. Then there's a nature where I see God. The Chazon Ish said that I could have spent my whole life looking at a flower because a flower has enough elokus in it that there's enough to look at and to think about for an entire lifetime in a single flower. Okay, fortunately for Klai, so the Chazon Ish didn't do that. Did not spend his whole life looking at a flower. But you could. Meaning you can look at a flower and every bit of it and see, wow, that's Hashem. That's Hashem manifesting Himself in nature. That's Yudkei Vavkei Bekatnus in nature. What's Yudkei Vavkei Begadlus? What's Yudkei Vavkei Begadlus? Again, Yudkei Vavkei Shem Avaya Bekatnus. Shem Avaya Bekatnus means I look at a flower. We'll get there soon. I look at a flower, right? And I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't see science. I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's Yudkei Vavkei Begadlus? How does Hashem manifest Himself more openly, but still connected to nature? A miracle that still has a shaychus to Teva. What does that mean? The Jews go to fight against Yericho. What happens? A miracle. The walls sink into the ground. Yeah, what happens next? They take their weapons and they fight. So Baal Chevy says, that's a miracle. That's still makusher to nature. Why do they need to fight afterwards? They needed to fight afterwards because that miracle was still out of kesher to nature. They saw an open miracle. They saw the walls of Yericho crumble to the sound of a shofar, to sink into the ground. That's an open miracle. That's Yudkei Vavkei. But it's still connected to nature. because they went afterwards and they had to fight. There's a mice with the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe once, there was a fellow who was very sick. The doctors gave up on him. So he comes to the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe says, I have the medicine for you. You should eat half a shmura matzah with water. The doctors were laughing. They said, that's ridiculous. That's not medicine. Then it's going to make him sicker. Half a shmura matzah with water. The Alter Rebbe said, eat half a shmura matzah with water. No, he ate the half a shmura matzah with the water, and he got better. So what would you call that? It's a miracle, no? Does shmura matzah have the ability? Is shmura matzah medicine? Maybe. The Zohar says it's mechla das vasa. It's the food of healing. Okay, so maybe that's already the lower level, right? The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, no, that's shem havaya. That's a miracle that's still connected to nature. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe didn't say, just, you're fine, I'm going to daven for you and your tumor is going to disappear. That's not what he said. He said, you still have to do something in the natural world. Ah, it's supernatural that Shmura Matzah is going to be the healing for this illness. But it's still Mekusher to Teva. That's Yurke Vavke Begadlus. Yurke Vavke Begadlus is looking at a flower and seeing God. Yurke Vavke Begadlus is the walls of Yericho sinking in their place or eating half a Shmura Matzah with water and then being healed. And then still having to go into Yericho and fight the battle. What's the level above that? There's a level above that. The level above that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see, on both those levels, you're still Mekusher to nature. There's a level above that where what? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely beyond what? Is completely beyond nature. There's no shaykhis to nature. There's no shaykhis whatsoever. It's completely beyond. It's complete Pella. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, that's what these three Lashonos were. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hifli v'higdil Hashem. Higdil v'hifli Hashem are the two lower letters, levels. Then ki Hashem hifli v'higdil. Sometimes there's Hashem be'etzem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely beyond. And yet, here's the kicker, here's the punchline. The Chiddush of Yotes Kislev is that what? That Hashem that's totally beyond, that is in no way bound to nature, is what? What's the end of the sentence? That Hashem is hifli v'higdil lehayasos ba'aretz. And that's exactly our shaila that we started with. How is it possible for Hashem at His best to be revealed within the earth? Within that which is most gashmi? How is it shaila for the deepest Torahs to be shaila to the lowest Jews? What's the pshat? How does that happen? But again, that's the chiddush of Yotes Kislev. The chiddush of Yotes Kislev is that there can be an alignment between Nigla and Nister, because when you're talking about Hashem be'etzem, there's no madregos. When you look at a Jew be'etzem, there's no madregos. There's no bigger, there's no better. Every Jew is equally chashuv by the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you look at a Jew be'etzem. Yes, on a superficial level, on nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, there are levels of Jews. You get down to yechida, every Jew is worthy. And therefore, even a Jew today, who's hanging on by his pintel yid, has a sheichas to the deepest Torah. It's not a stira, because when you're looking at the deepest Torah, nigla and ister, it's one and the same. There are no madregas. There's no separation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His greatest revelation, Ba'aretz, in the greatest Gashmias. I'll just show you one example in Halacha. The Rambam in Source 15. If a person says, Ha'omer, Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Ha'omer she'ein HaTorah me'im Hashem. If I were to ask you, are there better mitzvos? Are there more severe mitzvos and mitzvos that are lighter in their value? What would you say? How would you answer that question? More chashuv mitzvos and less chashuv mitzvos. You can say deraisa derabanan. You get curries for this. You get lashes for that. Right? Yesterday we saw motzi shema. You're paying 100. Onus b'fati. You're paying 50. Says the Mishnah in Erechin. So you see from here. Tav tor k'nege kulam. And yet you all know that there's a part of you that's disgusted by that question. Chasu shalom to say any bit of Torah is better than any other bit of Torah. We had the other week, the Ramban in the Torah Hashem Tamima, in his Drasha, where he says that anyone who says, it's basically Gemara in Sanhedrin, that anyone who says that the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is more chashiv than what? Than Alifa is out of Pilegesh named Timna, that's an element of Kfira. The Rambam writes here in Hilchos Tshuva, if a person says the Torah is not from Hashem, even one Pasuk, even one word, Im Amar Moshe Amro, if he says that Moshe added this part Mipiatzmo, Harei Zeh Kofer B'Torah, does it matter which word of Torah you reject? Shouldn't there be levels of your kfira? If I reject a serious mitzvah, oh, that's really bad. If I reject a smaller, if I take out one pasuk about, you know, the Alufei Esav, the Torah's still good. No, you're a kofer. Kofer b'chol Torah kula. Rejected the whole thing. So you see that on one level you can look at Torah and there are madrigos. On another level though, if you look deeply at the Torah, there are no madrigos. And that's what Chassidus does. Chassidus came to show us the Etzem Davar. That there are no madrigos. That's true in Torah, it's true in looking at the world, it's true in looking at our fellow Jews, that it's all mamish kepshuto, one of these things, yechida, atzmius. The essence of things. So now let's go back to Yaakov Avinu. V'yivaser Yaakov levado. So which is it? He went back for nothing for Pachim Gitanim or Viniskam Hashem Levado? Is it the lowest or it's the highest? Are we Zochet to Chassidus like we saw in Kutcher Seitz Achayim because we're the sickest generation or because we're the door that's going to greet Mashiach? What's the answer? The answer is when you're Osik and Pima, it's one and the same. There's no difference. It's Mamish one and the same. It's not a stira. That it's Dafka the one who can go back for Pachim Gitanim, who can be Viniska Vashem Levado. It's Dafka being able to bring light, the Mayanos being Hachutza, of caring about the Pachim Gitanim, of somehow finding meaning and purpose in the Pachim Gitanim, is Dafka the thing that allows for Viniska Vashem Levado. That's what the Lubavitcher says. One and the same. And that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is taking the greatest light, the Or HaGanus, that was hidden away, right? Because we were nervous that Rosh Hashanah would tamper with it. And yeah, now, when do you give it back to us, Rosh Hashanah? He went back to us in the darkest nights, the longest, coldest, darkest nights, Lamal Me'asara Tvachim, outside the house, right? On the left-hand side, negative, 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 negative. That's when you want to give back the Oraganus? That makes sense? Hashem, you put away the Oraganus because we weren't worthy of it. Now you're giving it back on Chanukah. That the greatest light is going to be, you go right into the deepest darkness? And the answer is yeah. That's the pshat. I'll just end with the final source. We say every morning, in Ezra Savosenu, right before Shemona Esrei, Mashbil Geyim Ade Aretz Magbiya Shvalim Ade Maro. I saw in the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim, he brings from Rav Asher of Stolen. He says, what does it mean, Mashbil Geyim Ade Aretz Magbiya Shvalim Ade Maro? The Pasha Pshat is Hashem takes the haughty ones and he drags them down, and he takes the humble ones and he lifts them up. Rav Asher of Stolen said, Hashem is Mashbil Geyim Ade Aretz. What does that mean? Hashem is Mashbil, he sends down Geyim, great Oros, great lights to this low world. And what happens with those lights? It's Magbiya Shvalim Ad Demaro. Hashem is Mashpil Geim. Hashem sends down such awesome illuminated Torah to this world in order to what? To lift up the lowest Jews. That it should make sense that somehow on the level of Pnimiyas HaTorah, it's not a stira that the lowest Jews have a shaychus to enter Torah. And it's not a stira to the fact that we're going to be Makal Mashiach, despite the fact that if they're like angels, we're like donkeys. It's not a stira. Because when you're focusing on the Etzem Davar, there's no Madregos. That's all Chitonius. That's all Mibachutz. So Mirat Hashem, we should be Zocha. We should wish each other a good Yontif. We should be Zocha to see Mamish, a continued Gilei of Pnimius. And we should understand that part of the reason that we're sick, and it's a very broken thing, but it's also at the same time, it's not a stira at all. That it's a very holy thing that we're going through right now. The Giluyim that we're Zocha to is a very special thing that's taking place right now. And Amir Tzashem, we should all be Zocha to a Shana Tova, Belimera Chasidus, Bedarche Chasidus, Techasevo, Besechasevo. Yontif, Yontif.